busy body in that way. I'm always, I don't know how to sit still. Just a little bit about me. I love plants. I love flowers. But she has a lot of plants, though. The house is filled. It's my hobby. It's gorgeous. Yeah. Like hating. Yeah. No, for real. You just want a big white suit. It's like, oh, no, yes. But, you know, we can. But we can get you something. You know. We'll get you something. I got you. I have connections.
Space for mamas to come and be rubbed on. Incredible.
A shout out to our team.
Yeah. Shout out to the team, but that is not me. Okay, well, real quick, and this is not the beef thing to any other organization that feeds people. Is that?
If not the norm.
Okay.
Because a lot of programming, like, a lot of programming is like the start and stop lines, and that is not because of programming, that's because of the dollar store foundations. Let's talk about that. I'd like to help you go. And not just about EGC, this is like an everybody thing. But most programs
Everybody knows how to use the things. Everybody knows how to do the stuff. It's
at home. They'll definitely share, you know, your mom wants to buy you your apple. Definitely give that to her. And your brother wants a cookie. Go for it. But in the grand scheme of things, what's mine is mine. What's yours is yours. And the possession is not intended to belong. So even if I take it from you, I have it as well. To get to me, radical sharing. Wow. It's kidney season, y'all. I like those magical powders that are existing. These are gorgeous. I don't remember what these white ones are called. They're actually called stock. Wonderful. I know it's weird. It's like all of the cool names that they're like stock. That one just feels nice. We don't need it. And stock is one of my personal favorite flowers.
Yeah.
It's like the lily of the valley, but bigger and
every just like have a good day. Like do the
can do well with that kind of judgment, right? Like, you don't, nobody's like, yeah, please sign me up to, you know, tell me how bad I'm doing in life.
But I think, like, in that, a lot of people get confused in not just their radical millennialism thing, but the ways that the lack thing that you mentioned, when you are in that lack space, right, you are in a fight or flight mode.
Yep.
And your body is, like, literally fighting drama, literally trying to figure out how to function. You're not in your right frame of mind. And so anybody who's in a space of lacking or a space of need, they are, whether or not they recognize it or have the words or feel comfortable talking about it, which I understand, they're, that's where they are. They are in a fight or flight space, and they might not even realize it. I know I was in a fight or flight space for years, and it was until a mentor said, "Hey, Jay, let's talk about this." And I was like, oh, and giving me language. Still, like, this is not to be like we're like solved to experience this, but
right.
But to really unpack that, and it's like to be like, oh, you're in a fight or flight place, you're in a place of, you know, things that you're not connected and grounded biologically because of all of these outside things, it makes it really hard for folks. And then, like, so we know you're in that place, and now tell me about your trauma, and now I'm going to start judging you because,
right,
what did you talk about it, right? Like, whatever the need is, it becomes immediately, it feels like a value judgment in this society because, you know, you're not supposed to be wanting or needing anything, you're not supposed to be.
But what's the matter with your bootstraps? They don't work?
Yeah, and those bootstraps, right? Like, I just saw this little, TikTok thing that was going around. It was like this white guy was talking about, it was hilarious, because he was like processing the 400 plus year deficit for Black Americans, and he was like, oh my God, I'm so being sick. And it was just very insightful from him, so good on that. And just also, like, hey, everybody, understand, even if you are, like, if a Black person is in a higher income bracket, understand this larger conversation and how this impacts everybody within this diaspora, as well as how this is impacting people engaging with each other.
Right.
But then, going back to that comment about sharing as part of our biology, we are designed to share. Like, we are wired as human beings to share.
Well, despite that,
we fight it every day.
That's right.
You know, I had a girlfriend that was complaining, rightfully so, about all the things in the world, and I was like, you need to be in a community. You need to share something with somebody. You need to intentionally, and she was like, I don't know, and had a whole grunt thing on me. And I was like, I get it, because, like, feel the grunt. And I was like, go volunteer, go share. So she ended up doing, like, a few little things over the weekend. She didn't volunteer, but she helped a friend with their kids, and stuff, volunteering. It looked like all different things in different seasons, and she gave something away, and she finally got into the vibe that they vibes, and then she was like, oh, I'm such a good time.
Mom and Donna, and something that she chose folks to do at the end of race talk is to
know who's taking the patch out and it just like is magically happening. That's, you know, finding out is a sort of a big deal. Like, oh, it's just one neighbor that just does it. That's dope.
Yeah.
For everyone. That's nice. But more than that, my thought about doing homework and making people sort of implement what they've learned immediately is important. Because I have no short-term memory, so after I have talked to you about it and heard it, and I'm like, yep, gonna go do that. That's how I'll share tonight, and then totally forget. But make it an assignment and a given if I did that, check that box off, right? We as a society don't really meet our neighbors anymore. It's kind of, and I've noticed that it's not just as anymore, actually. Like, there's like a cycle. When you're a kid, at least when I was a kid in our neighborhood, everybody knew each other. And then as I moved out, I didn't know any of my neighbors in my first apartment. Like, none. In my fourplex, I knew two people and never knew the other one. You know, like,
the people on the other side, I was separated by stairs, but the person that was upstairs, since we were in the same house, we just went different floors. I mean, we have
okay,
everything in it. But it's, you know.
It's all one unit, basically.
I can hear you. So when we moved into our place last year, I could see this woman. She's an older woman. I'd say in her late 60s. And I would, like, wave, and she would not speak to me. And I'm like, but I can hear you. And, like, I can see that you're an older community member. And if something unfortunate happens, I think if you
need to.
Yeah, and, like, if you hollered, I would be like, I'm on it. I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but
I'm here.
I'm going to try to help out right here. So she, like, the first little bit that we lived there, we just went on for, like, weeks, right? Where she just, like, wouldn't engage, eyes down. And finally, I'm just getting, like, really annoyed. I'm like, man, this is weird. And why? That whole, like, notion of not knowing your neighbors. And so I saw her leaving one day, and I, like, kind of ran after her. I was like, I am your new neighbor. And she was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, and it was really interesting because I was like, I don't want anything from you other than hi. Like, I'm Aiden.
I want you to acknowledge them.
Yeah, but I'm like, I was like, I can hear you
all the time, tap dancing in the middle of the night, whatever.
It doesn't matter what is happening. When you can hear an upstairs neighbor, they're definitely bullying. Like, there's
I
no
know. It's a whole thing.
Other than just are, like, moving trash cans around.
She's literally moving her toys around. But that wasn't what I wanted to tell. I just was like, I can hear you, so if I can hear you do whatever you're doing, like, if there's an emergency, like, we should know each other, right? So she was a little, like, weird about that. And then I was like, no, like, just say hi. So now I know. I was like, I'm AJ. She's like, oh, I'm Trudy. And so every time I see her, I'm like, I'm a Trudy.
Right.
And it's interesting the way that it took her time to soften. And, like, we're neighbors. I don't need to know anything about you. I'm not worried about that. But just a hi. And to work community.
Right.
And fast forward to a couple months ago, I met two of our other neighbors, who one of them was very excited, and I ended up giving her flowers because she made a comment. They're like, oh, this is so beautiful. I was like, flowers? Hi.
Hi.
And I was like, oh, you like flowers? And so I ended up giving her flowers late in the afternoon. I left them on the porch because she wasn't home. And she came back, and she knocked on my door to say thank you, and we exchanged numbers, and she was so excited about that. And I was like, it's really this simple to be connected in community. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't take that much.
So I like to give compliments. I didn't even think about it in a way of like I like to give compliments.
I mean,
manifesting over here.
You know? Yeah. I mean, we just gotta.
So we're almost out of time, but I want to make sure that we give you all the time that you need to tell people how they can get involved with EBC, not just engaging with your programming, but how can they donate? How can they volunteer? How can they be a part of this? Do you take ideas? Do you take requests? Do you say go away?
So we'll take ideas if we know you and we're in community with you. allowing me to be a part of Equitable Giving Circle's very first podcast. This was absolutely amazing. Right before Jamila starts talking, you have to say the website and your Instagram for people to get.
Yeah, the website is equitablegivingcircle.org, and the Instagram is equitablegivingcircle. And like I said, my email is info@equitablegivingcircle.org.
Me and Kim.